Father, just thank you for this morning that we can be here. And we again, as every time, we thank you for your word. And I just pray that as I endeavor to open it to the physical ears, Father, that you would open it up to the ears of our hearts, that we would all be blessed, encouraged, and edified by your word this morning. Amen. Okay, so who are the Rechabites? As I mentioned, we're all familiar with the story, I'm sure, in Jeremiah. But it's a really good story. So I would like to go to Jeremiah 35 and read the whole chapter. And for people that get bogged down with lengthy passages of Scripture are going to get bogged down this morning. I'm just going to warn you that. I have a whole bunch of lengthy passages that I'm going to read without actually doing a whole lot of commenting on a lot of it. So let's just read the story of the Rechabites. Jeremiah 35. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, Drink ye wine. But they said, We will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build houses, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyards, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us. We drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyards, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass when Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land that we said, Come and let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people have not hearkened unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them. Because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he hath commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. At this time in the history of Israel, in the book of Jeremiah, when Jeremiah was speaking to the Rechabites, Zedekiah was king of Judah. But if we move back 13 kings and one queen, we come to and the queen Athaliah, we come to King Ahaziah. Okay. So 14 generations of rulers in Judah. We step back. King Ahaziah. If we go to the story of how King Ahaziah died, we will find in that story how the Rechabites started. His death contains the first mention of the Rechabites. Because, if you remember, Jehu was the king was the man that assassinated Ahaziah, king of Judah, along with assassinating the king of Israel, and became the king of Israel at that time. And Jehu's right-hand man in the assassination and also in the killing of all the people that worshiped Baal was Jonadab, the son of Rechab. That's where the Rechabites are first mentioned. So let's go and read that story. We find that story in 2 Kings 10, verse 13, is where I'm going to start. We find that Jehu met with the brethren of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, "Who are ye?" And they answered, "We are the brethren of Ahaziah, and we go down to salute the children of the king and the children of the queen." And he said, "Take them alive." And they took them alive and slew them at the pit of the shearing house, even 42 men, neither left he any of them. And when he was departed thence, he lighted on Jonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he saluted him and said to him, "Is thine heart right as mine heart is with thy heart?" And Jonadab answered, "It is. If it be, give me thine hand." And he gave him his hand, and he took him up into his chariot. And he said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So they made him ride in his chariot. And when he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria, till he had destroyed him, according to the saying of the Lord, which he spake to Elijah. And Jehu gathered all the people together and said unto them, "Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal, and all his servants and all his priests. Let none be wanting, for I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live." But Jehu did it in subtlety, to the intent that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal. And Jehu said, "Proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal," and they proclaimed it. And Jehu sent through all Israel, and all the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left that came not. And they came into the house of Baal, and the house of Baal was full from one end to the other. And he said unto him that was over the vestry, "Bring forth vestments for all the worshippers of Baal." And they brought them forth vestments. And Jehu went, and Jonadab the son of Rechab, into the house of Baal, and said unto the worshippers of Baal, "Search and look, that there be here with you none of the servants of the Lord, but the worshippers of Baal only." And when they went in to offer sacrifice and burnt offerings, Jehu appointed 80 men without and said, "If any of the men whom I have brought into your hands escape, he that letteth him go, his life shall be for the life of him." And it came to pass, as soon as he made an end of offering the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guard and the captains, "Go in and slay them, let none come forth." And they smote them with the edge of the sword, and the guard and the captains cast them out and went to the city of the house of Baal. And they brought forth the images out of the house of Baal and burned them, and they brake down the image of Baal and brake down the house of Baal and made it a draft house unto this day. Anyway, I thought I had put down the reference of the part where they killed King, what was his name? Again, there's so many of these names. Ahaziah. But I believe Ahaziah was the king that Jehu shot with a bow from his chariot into Ahaziah's chariot. I can't remember that part of the details, and I thought I had written it down here, but I don't know where it is. Anyway, that's the story. That's Jonadab, the son of Rechab. That's the Rechabites. His children are the Rechabites that we see in Jeremiah. And one thing that stands out to me, it was somewhere between 200 and 250 and 50 years from this time, from the time of Jonadab until his children in the book of Jeremiah. 200 to 250 years. Jonadab told his children not to drink alcohol. And for 250 years, those generations of people didn't, because they were told not to. And God commends them for listening to their father's request. And that's commendable when you think about it. Okay, how many of you even know the name of one of your grandparents 8 generations back? Anybody? Much more, how many of you know some words of advice from your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa? Nobody. This is the feat that the Rechabites accomplished. I'm just guessing about 8 generations because at least 8. Could be even more. They remembered those words and they honored it. But we go further. We find it to go a little further into who the Rechabites are. We find in 1 Chronicles 2:55, and the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez, the Terethites, the Shemathites, and the Succothites, these are the Kenites that came from Hemath, the father of the house of Rechab. Okay, so this is why I want to talk about the Kenites. Who are the Kenites? Because now we find not only was that who the Rechabites are, but now we find out the Rechabites were not Israel at all. They were dwelling in Israel, but they were not Jewish specifically. They were not children of Jacob, I guess I should say. Okay, so the Kenites were the father of the house of Rechab. So who are the Kenites? Let's follow this back. Since the Rechabites were a family of the Kenites, we find the Kenites living in Jerusalem at the time of the carrying away of Babylon. Jerusalem was the very last city to fall into Babylon, not only of Israel, but of the whole surrounding area. And so that's what we read in Jeremiah 35, that the Rechabites moved there for fear of the Chaldeans. We find in other places that the Kenites had dwelt mostly further south in Israel. We find them mentioned a number of times in that southern, the southwestern corner down there towards the land of the Philistines. So we find the Kenites at the carrying away of Babylon. If we go back to the time of Jehu, we find Jonadab, the son of Rechab himself, who was a Kenite. Then if we go further back, we find that God, by the mouth of Samuel, told King Saul to destroy the Amalekites. King Saul sent to the Kenites, because they were dwelling with the Amalekites, and told the Kenites, separate yourselves from the Amalekites, otherwise you're going to be killed with them. All right, so let me read you that story. In 1 Samuel 15:1, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that he hath, all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. Then if we go even further back in the nation of Israel, to the time of the judges, we find that a Kenite woman won the day for Israel by killing the enemy king. The story is that of Deborah and Barak. So let me read you that story. In Judges 4, verse 10, we read, and Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kedesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent in the plain of Zanaim, which is by Kedesh. And they showed Sisera unto Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Horesheth of the Gentiles unto the river of Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is a day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Horesheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. And he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, Is there any man here? Thou shalt say, No. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it to the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Okay, so that's another story of the Kenite. And then if we turn a couple chapters further back in the book of Judges, in Judges chapter 1, verse 16, and the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city of palm trees with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lieth to the south of Ered, and they went and dwelt among the people. Okay, so Moses' father-in-law was also a Kenite. And his children dwelt among the children of Judah. All right, I hope you guys are following me in these steps backward. So, let's take a little look at Moses' father-in-law. In Numbers 10:29, and Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reuel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart into mine own land, into my kindred. And he said, Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou wilt go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. Okay. So now maybe the puzzle is starting to come together. Moses invited Jethro, Hobab he calls him in that place, same guy, to come with them. But Jethro thought not good to go with Israel. So he went back to Midian. But then we see later in the first chapter of Judges that his children went and did join Israel. More than likely, other more distant relatives came too besides his immediate children. But the children and the relatives of Moses' father-in-law are the Kenites. So when you see the Kenites throughout the Old Testament, it's the children of Moses' father-in-law, even all the way down to the Rechabites. And if you remember when Saul told the Kenites to separate themselves from the Amalekites, the reason he gives for being kind to them is that they were kind to Israel when they were coming out of Egypt. And so what was this? 1 Samuel 15:6, And Saul said unto the Kenites, Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Let's put more details together. The kindness Saul was referring to was the visit Jethro paid to Moses. He's one of the main fathers of the Kenites. We find in Exodus 18:5, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife, and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh, and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and to all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And this is not Jethro's conversion or anything like that. He is simply confessing and confirming what he already believed. The next verse confirms that Jethro was not a heathen priest, as some try to make out. If you get on the internet and read articles, they'll try to make out that he was a heathen priest and that Moses, they're trying to blur the lines between Christianity and heathenism and between Judaism and heathenism. Jethro was not a heathen priest. He was a priest of the Most High God living in a heathen land. And we know this because God accepts the sacrifice he offers in Exodus 18:12. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people came unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. So this is the kindness that Saul is referring to. And now, as you all remember, Moses' father-in-law was a Midianite. Moses flees to Midian from the face of Pharaoh, and he finds a godly man there. Midian as a whole was not a godly nation, but there was a godly line. So now let's take this progression one step further back, and I believe that it will help to explain where this godly line came from. who were the Midianites. Genesis 25:1. And again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. After Sarah died, he married again, and his second wife's name was Keturah. Genesis 25:2. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. In another place, we have the Midianites associated with the Ishmaelites, which is a very reasonable thing, as they would have both been children of Abraham. They would have been closer relatives. We find that in Genesis 37:27, when Joseph's brethren were selling him. They said, "Come, let us sell him unto the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh," and his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites. So here the Bible uses Ishmaelites and Midianites interchangeably for this one group of people. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. In another place, we find the Midianites in cahoots with the Moabites, which were the children of Lot. The older daughter of Lot, you guys all remember that horrible story when Lot's children, his two daughters, got him drunk and got pregnant. The older daughter is the mother of Moab. And then we remember the story when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt and they're in the wilderness, and the Moabites want to curse Israel. So, what is it? Balak? Balak tries to hire Balaam. And I'm not sure if Balaam was a Midian. When later in the story, when we find that the children of Israel go to destroy Midian, one of the people that they killed was Balaam. But that doesn't necessitate that he was a Midianite, because he likely could have moved there when they had hired him, and he might not have gone back to his own country. So that there's a little bit of uncertainty there whether Balaam was a Midianite. But during this time, we find the Midianites and the Moabites working together to try to curse Israel. We have in Numbers 22:4, "And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time." A couple of verses later, "And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam, and spake unto him the words of Balak." And of course, you all remember the story well enough that I won't get into it. I just want to point out that there was both Midianites and Moabites who were trying to curse Israel at this time. Find in Numbers 31:1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Avenge the children of Israel for the Moabites," the Midianites. "Afterward thou shalt be gathered unto their people. And Moses spake unto the people, saying, Arm some of yourselves unto the war, and let them go against the Midianites, and avenge the Lord of Midian. Of every tribe 1,000 throughout all the tribes of Israel shall ye send to the war." So there were delivered out of the thousands of Israel 1,000 of every tribe, 12,000 armed for war. And Moses sent them to the war 1,000 of every tribe, them and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, to the war with the holy instruments and the trumpets to blow in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. And they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, 5 kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. Some people might want more evidence than the simple fact that Abraham named one of his boys Midian, and then shortly after we see the Midianites as a people. But I think it's enough to make a very reasonable assumption that the Midianites were the children of Abraham through his second wife, Keturah. Maybe that explains why Moses found a godly man in Midian when he got there. Even though the nation as a whole was a wicked nation, that God, at the same time, while Jethro went back to Midian to be the priest there, the whole nation as a whole was so wicked that God needed to destroy it. But Jethro was still the priest. A missionary, maybe he was. The Midianites are the people that Gideon fought against with 300 men. I'm sure you all remember that story very well. And then just one other thing that I want to point out is that I do believe there was other Kenite people as well. We see that Kenite people that are themed throughout all of Scripture that are very obviously the children of Jethro and his relatives. But in Genesis 15:18, one of the people, or when God blessed Abraham, one of the peoples that God told Abraham he was going, his children were going to dispossess, were the Kenites. And I believe it's only reasonable to assume that this is an entirely different Kenite people, unless somehow they blended together with the Midianites. But in Genesis 15:18-21, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites, and the Kenizzites, and the Cadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Of course, the Kenites who are themed throughout the Bible are very obviously Midianites. And you can make a pretty strong argument that the Midianites are the children of Abraham. So if that is true, these would of necessity be a different Kenite people. Okay. So that is the overview of who are the Rechabites, who are the Kenites, and who are the Midianites. And I hope this information is helpful to you in your own Bible study and reading as you read through the Old Testament and you see this sort of thing. I'm one that when I come to these questions, I have to dig into them. Like, who is this? Like, so I end up spending hours sometimes finding all this stuff. And I would like a little bit of feedback if you guys find this sort of study helpful, because I do have at least one more study of this nature on mind that I might want to do sometime if people find this sort of thing helpful. Otherwise, I won't worry about it. But to go a little further, a couple practical implications. The Rechabites in Jeremiah 35:18. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he hath commanded you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. With this blessing, God set the Rechabites apart from the rest of the world. As far as I know, this is the only person whom God blessed with this blessing. The closest that I can think of that would resemble this promise was that made to David about his throne. And we find in Jeremiah, 32:17, I think. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. David shall never want, this is the old English word for lack. He shall never lack a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Now, of course, Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise made to David. And that is one of the greatest blessings God ever gave to a human being, was that promise to David. Yet, in some ways, I think that the promise to the Rechabites is even greater. Just, I want all you parents especially to imagine how it would be if God told you that as long as the world stands, you will have children who are godly. As long as, that would be a blessing, isn't it? And that's what God promised to Jonadab, the son of Rechab. That's a a promise. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. The Rechabites must have done something right. We all know just how easy it is to be overcome by the lifestyle of the people around us. Especially if the people around us that are trying to influence us are Christians themselves. Yet for more than 200 years, the Rechabites stood against the culture around them. That's a minimum of 8 generations. This lifestyle was passed from father to son, from mother to daughter. 8 generations. It's a long time. The Kenites were a non-Israelite people who reaped the blessings of Israel by joining them as a nation. Moses told Jethro, he says, the goodness that God bestows on us, we will in turn bestow on you. And so it was. Now Jethro didn't join Israel himself, but as I already mentioned, his children did later. And they were godly. In fact, when all of Israel was fallen, it seems that the Kenites might have been some of the most godly people in Jerusalem. Might have been the most godly left. And God honored the Rechabites because they honored their father, who had been dead many years. The Midianites were children of Abraham through his second wife, Keturah. They were ungodly people. They thought it a small thing to curse Israel by committing fornication with them. Yet among these ungodly heathen, there was a godly line. Jethro was a priest to God. I suspect that Jethro's godliness, as I already mentioned, could be traced back to Abraham. And though most of the Midianites were not godly, a few of them followed the God of their father. And again, it is an amazing thing when you see an individual who can stand against the culture and the society around them. Use a little illustration of myself. Brandon spent 9 years. He spent the 9 years that I was a baker working on making me keep a clean work environment, you know, kitchen standard. And through the course of those 9 years, I slowly improved. But it still took thought for me to be as clean as I should be for kitchen standard work. And I recently switched to woodworking. And when I first stepped into the shop, everything felt so dirty. There was dust on everything. And I mean, if you went into the corners, there was places with a half inch of dust on stuff you hadn't used for a while. And everything I saw, I wanted to clean. And that lasted about 9 days. I was pretty adjusted to workshop environment. And this is really, as I was thinking about this a few days ago, it's a really a perfect illustration of how our human hearts are. That's my tendency towards workspace cleanliness, but that is the tendency of every single one of us towards sin. What takes us 9 years to overcome by the grace of God, we can give up in 9 days if we're not careful. And that only makes this whole thing of the Rechabites staying separate for 8 generations all the more of an amazing feat when you think about the tendency of the human heart. And then Jethro himself lived above that tendency towards sin and lived as a light among the darkness of his heathen country without a Bible. That's an amazing feat. Yet he was a priest to the Most High God. Anyway, let's close with prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we just pray that you would help us to understand it. And I just pray that these facts, you'd just help us to remember them, and that you would just keep our minds clear when we read your word and help us to understand all the different stories and who is who and what's what. Give us the grace to understand your word, but Father, even more, what good does it do to understand it if we can't live it? And we pray that you would give us the grace that the Rechabites had to live, to pass that lifestyle on through those 8 generations. Father, I pray for all the parents here who have children. You would help them to train their children to be godly. And Father, help us as we live in this wicked world to stay separate from it and to be a priest to you among these heathen people. Help us, Lord. Amen.